You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. About 3,800 school-aged children here in Idaho are not fully immunized for the measles. This is according to recent data that was compiled by Idaho health officials. Since January 1st, 49 cases of measles have been confirmed in Clark County, Washington. That is just across the border from Portland. And public health officials in the state of Washington say the vast majority of those who came down with the disease were not vaccinated against it. And most of those cases have been children between the ages of 1 and 10. Now, while no infections have been reported here in Idaho, at least one public health department in our state has issued a notice for schools and daycares to be on the lookout for the signs of this disease. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are pediatrician Dr. Alicia Lacciando and Idaho Education News reporter Kevin Richard is joining us by phone from the State House. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin, I want to start with you because we have what some would say lax regulations when it comes to needing to get kids vaccinated in our state. Do we see anything potentially changing in the legislature with that?
No, and if anything, the tone in the legislature, at least in terms of legislation that's coming along, is trying to maybe make it, even easier for parents to opt out. There was a bill that wasn't introduced, but it had a hearing on Monday that would require the parents are informed about their rights to opt their kids out of immunization. Now, mind you, we already have some of the highest opt-out rates in the nation. We're up alongside of Oregon. I think we flip-flopped between us and Oregon as having the highest opt-out rates in the nation. So you get thousands of parents already opting their kids out of immunization. And this bill, which is a long way from passing, but this bill is certainly designed to encourage even more parents to follow suit.
Because currently a lot of people, if I'm correct, Kevin, opt out in our state based on religious issues, correct?
Right. That's been the preponderance of it. But the way the process is being revised and rewritten, parents won't even really need to do that. They won't even really need to explain a specific reason for opting out. I mean, the form that parents have had to fill out in the past has been a pretty short form, and it has required some sort of a designation. Is this a religious opt-out or is this a medical opt-out, which is a whole different animal? As it's now in place, as the rules are now in place, parents can simply submit a letter saying that they want to opt their kids out of immunizations, and there really is no requirement to explain why.
Dr. Lacciando, I want to bring you into the conversation. I mean, you are a pediatrician. You vaccinate kids all of the time.
Absolutely.
Have you seen an increase over the years, or is it kind of steady?
I would say I'd see an increase in the number of conversations that I have over the years in terms of why we vaccinate when we do and what possible side effects might be and what the vaccines are protecting against. It's something that I'm really happy to talk about. I consider myself an expert. I have to be. I'm giving somewhere between 10 and, 15 kids vaccines every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to be really aware of why those things are, and I'm happy to have those conversations with family. But I think there's a lot of people who choose not to vaccinate at all, and there's a lot of people who are just wondering, I'm hearing all of this information. What's your take? Mm. Where does it stand? Because they are awash in opinions.
Right.
coming at them from many areas. But vaccine rates, at least, it's actually very regional within the state as well. If you look at it, you can look on the Department of Health and Welfare's website in the Idaho Immunization Program and see how many people have opted out at your children's school. And so there are definite pockets of it. But overall, the vaccine rates that, at least in my clinic, that our patients have been getting have been pretty consistent.
So when we see what's happening in Washington state in particular, I know the state of New York is dealing with some issues with measles right now as well. But with the state of Washington and the fact that, people travel back and forth all of the time between, Boise and Portland. And when we talk about how we need that herd immunization, should we be concerned about something like this happening in Idaho? And because I don't want people to be freaked out about this, but I think it's a conversation we need to be having when this is our neighbors right to the west of us.
Absolutely. And the really scary part, I think, with measles in particular is, one, it's so highly contagious. It is one of, if not the most, one of the most contagious organisms that we encounter. And the period from exposure to showing symptoms is so long. So it's really hard for public health officials to contain a sporadic outbreak or an endemic outbreak like in Washington, because someone might be affected and it can take a week, 10 days before they're showing symptoms, even up to 3 weeks. So we don't know exactly when this outbreak will be contained in Washington. That being said, we haven't had any cases in Idaho at all. And if you have had one MMR vaccine, the chance that you are protected for life is somewhere between 93 and 97%. So the vaccine is incredibly effective. A second vaccine gets you all the way up to above 99%. So if your children have had the MMR vaccine, the chance that they are protected against measles is incredibly good.
I'm speaking with pediatrician Dr. Alicia Lacciando and Idaho Education News reporter Kevin Richard about immunizations and about the measles outbreak that we're seeing in Washington. And Kevin, you cover education at the State House. So this does fall into that realm because it's students. Are the conversations changing at all with lawmakers, especially when we're looking at maybe potentially making our regulations even more lax than they already are?
Well, it is kind of a mixed bag with legislators. As I mentioned with the bill that is kind of in limbo, that may come back in some different form. At the same time, the two health and welfare committees did add another immunization to the list of, I call them guidelines, because, you know, I think it's a bit of a misnomer to say that these are required when you have such high opt-out rates. The House and the Senate, the Health and Welfare Committees, both voted to add a 12th grade vaccine to combat meningitis. So that's added to the list of immunizations that the state is recommending. And barring some very dramatic change in the State House in the next few weeks, that's going to go into effect. So it's kind of a mixed signal that you're getting from the legislature.
And Alicia, how does that affect, you know, your practice, right? Because I think back to my own experience and grilling my pediatrician when I was pregnant with my first child, because there is so much information out there and you are so concerned as a parent. You want to do the right thing for your child.
Absolutely. And that's where I think that's where all of these conversations have come from. Whatever side of the vaccine debate, I guess you could call it, you fall on, everyone wants to do what's best for their children. And it's how they're filtering that information. And that's really that's my entire job. My entire job is to keep your kids as protected as possible, live the longest, best, healthiest lives that they can. So I think it's very interesting. You talked about the mixed bag. I get mixed kind of questions from parents, and obviously no one wants to see their kid suffer even a little bit, whether it's pain from a needle, but they really don't want to see their kid suffer from these awful diseases. So it's a conversation that I bring up every time, and I leave that door open.
And is that part of it, what you just said about a parent would not want to see their child have a disease like this? Because when we were all coming of age, measles, you didn't really see it. I mean, we are in that age group where we all were vaccinated.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where some of our best resources as a pediatrician, as I was going through training, was some of the older pediatricians who, as these vaccines were coming along, saw the dramatic decreases in hospitalizations, the dramatic deaths, decreases in deaths from these diseases. And so it's a conversation that I have to remind myself why we do this. But it's very interesting. When I was in medical school in 2007, 2008, studying this, we were basically told that measles was eradicated in the U.S. And we were taught about it from a historical perspective, or if you were going to be in a developing nation that still had endemic or epidemic levels of measles. There, I think they're isolated now to 6 countries, though that number might be expanding as Europe has even higher vaccine opt-outs than we do. And they've had, I think last year, they had over 50,000 cases of measles across the continent and over 100 deaths. So it's a conversation that we're getting re-familiar with. I got to really bone up on my Coplex spots and the progression of measles disease because we want to be ready in case there is a concern.
So what should parents, A, be looking for, even though we've not had any cases in Idaho?
Yep.
Let's make that clear. There are certain signs, certain symptoms.
Yes. And again, I want to point out that if your child has had the vaccine, the chance that they're getting measles is negligible. And that also goes for infants. So under 6 months of age, if mom had either had measles, which is unlikely, or had the MMR vaccine, the chance of them having protection is incredibly good. The insidious part of measles is it starts off with a prodrome, or the, kind of the pre-disease, looking like a cold. So you get a cough, you get a runny nose, and some red eyes that don't quite look like pink eye. And that's before the high fever and the big rash come on. So it could look, we're in the midst of a great cold and flu season.
Right.
It could look like any of those respiratory viruses.
So when it comes to immunization, and since we do have, as I said, 3,800 school-age children that are not fully immunized in the state of Idaho, what do parents really need to know about this?
I would first of all feel that you don't need to call your pediatrician today necessarily, though we are happy. We're fielding calls all day, every day about measles. Our nurses are very well-versed now in the CDC recommendations. But you don't need to bring a child in. The things I would say is if your child is immunized, feel pretty safe. If you are going to be traveling to a place and you have a child who is not immunized, that there has been a measles outbreak, just like we did with Disneyland in the past. Mm-hmm. And I actually do for my patients who are traveling to Europe with kids who are under a year of age, have that conversation with your doctor. You can, in some cases, do an early MMR vaccine. It doesn't last. The memory immunity doesn't last until you get it after a year of age. So you would have to revaccinate at a year of age. But there is a possibility to offer some protection. And then for families whose kids are unimmunized and you're concerned they're measles, please don't go anywhere. Call us first because it is so contagious. Just being in a room with somebody who had measles, even if they never sneezed or coughed on anything that you touch, the air that hangs in that room that has measles virus in it can infect people for up to 2 hours.
You are kidding.
No, it is. That's why the contagious rate is about 90%. Like if you are an unvaccinated person in near proximity to a person who has active measles disease, there's a 90% chance that you will get it.
So take it seriously, but don't be so freaked out.
Don't be so freaked out. Again, the numbers are concerning because they continue to roll, but there's been nothing here. There's been no cases of people contracting it from airplanes or the Portland airport, as far as I'm concerned. And there's some great guidelines on the CDC website that talk about when to be concerned and what not to.
I appreciate both of you coming in and talking about this and getting us updated, Kevin, on the legislative aspect of it, and then Dr. Lacciando on the health side of it. Thank you both so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Anytime.